Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming out to our session today. My name is Sean Owens. I'm from the University of South Carolina at Columbia, from the Department of Health Promotion, Education, and Behavior. I also work in the Cancer Prevention and Control Center. So the presentation today is going to really capture just some simple ways of, you know, at least moving towards validation of instruments and developing valid measures. So this captures a survey that we recently created and plan to deploy statewide, but I just want to give you a little bit of information on the processes we use, and hopefully you can take away from this ways you can make sure your questions are more valid for your targeted population. Again, I have no, me and my co-authors have no relationships to disclose. And I just want to give you a little bit of background, because what this instrument does is we want to find out more about the context in which the decision-making regarding prostate cancer takes place. So for those of you who don't know much about prostate cancer, so prostate cancer is the number two most diagnosed cancer among men, and it's also one of the top killers of men. However, there is a great disparity between our, you know, Caucasian counterparts and African American men as far as the incidence and death from prostate cancer. So prostate cancer is, they have a higher diagnosis in African American men, and African American men die at about twice the rate of Caucasian men. And this disparity is about 50% more pronounced in the state of South Carolina. And also the topic of prostate cancer, especially in regards to screening, is like really littered with this controversy. And it's really based on this research that has taken place. It's been a European study as well as an American study, and they came to conclusions that prostate cancer is not reducing mortality in the way that we would like. So therefore, the recommendations stemming from that research, which by the way included few to no African American men. But what these guidelines are saying is that, no, healthy men should not be screened. And those are the recommendations from the United States Preventive Services Task Force. However, the American Cancer Society is saying, hey, we really need you to become informed about the risk, benefits, and uncertainties of screening, and then sit down and make a shared decision with your physician about whether or not screening is right for you. But in order to make an informed decision, we need, you know, to find creative ways of getting men informed and engaged in education, and also find out how they're currently making decisions. What type of information do they know? Are they already sitting down with their doctors and making shared decisions? And I'd like to bring out that, like I said again, men should not be screened unless they have received this information. So few studies have been performed statewide in South Carolina to assess what men are learning. So before we come up with these creative interventions to address this problem, we first need to see what people know and what their needs are again. And that's what this survey seeks to do. But first, we had to develop the survey. So I'll be talking a little bit about the process. So we wanted to assess whether and to what extent African-American men in South Carolina are, A, learning about prostate cancer screening, treatment, and survival, because it's important to note that in the informed decision-making process, we must also find out about, you know, the treatments and survival, because this could, you know, determine whether or not you decide to get screened. All right, if I need treatment, I can't afford treatment, I might not want to go through this informed decision-making process. And we also wanted to know, engage in informed decision-making about prostate cancer screening and treatment is recommended by the American Cancer Society, so we wanted to see if they were doing that. So what we did is me and some of my colleagues, we got together and we developed a 45-item survey, and it contained not only demographic information but some behavioral and attitude-based questions, and these were based on prior theories as well as instruments we had developed, and also some commonly known knowledge-based skills and so forth. So what we did was we brought together this instrument, and again, a lot of these measures had been pre-validated through other studies. But like I said, again, since we're in a new population, new demographic, new area, we still need to, again, try to attempt to validate these questions for use in that specific population, because African-American men are not African-American men. I mean, they are African-American men, but they're different. They learn differently based on the demographic. So what we did was we pulled together a purposive sample of 35 African-American men were recruited. And what we did was sort of like a group-based, I would call it a cognitive interview, but it was in a group setting. And what we did was administered the survey to all of the participants, and we use PowerPoint. I was like, hey, why not use PowerPoint? And we projected each and every question. We went one by one, each question. And what we were trying to do was find out, hey, are these questions readable? Is the content appropriate? What about the format? Are they understanding the questions in the way that we're trying to ask them? So we had about two note takers who were taking notes, and all feedback was really organized by me in Excel to look and view the themes. So we found that the format and the content of the survey was well accepted, but we had to make several changes to enhance the readability. Even though, I mean, we looked through these questions and we just thought they were on point. Like, we were like, yes, we have a good instrument. But 35 of the 45 questions were modified. Now, I'm not saying that they went any intensive, modifications, but you'll see on this next one. So, for example, here's some examples of some question modifications that occurred. So this original said, before you had the PSA test, did a healthcare provider talk with you about the advantages? So you see in the revised question, all we did was change the order. Changing the order of the question to them, improve the quality of the question. So that was a simple change. This one, I'm afraid of having an abnormal screening result. And here was the response options. The revised ones that they recommended was, I'm afraid of having a bad prostate cancer screening result. But we've decided that we're not going to use that language because it doesn't capture what we're trying to capture. You know, we're really looking at, you know, abnormalities. So we might change this question to something like, I just wanted to show you what they recommended. So we, instead of using abnormal, we might say not anormal or something to that effect because a bad prostate cancer exam may not work as well for what we're trying to get at. Again, here's another example. Have you searched for information about prostate cancer screening because you were thinking about getting screened? They were like, hey, if I'm searching for information, evidently I probably thought about getting screened. So why do you need that on there? Why do you need that on there? So we removed it, and it did make the question more clear. Also, I felt that I made an informed choice about whether or not to get a PSA test. Informed choice, you know, that's very subjective. So they wanted us to provide a short definition somewhere in the instrument, whether it was at the beginning in the introduction, with what we meant about informed choice, if we would like to use that language. So here's an example of my spreadsheet. And this is what I did. I mean, I pretty much took the original question. I put down all of the note taker comments for each and every question, looked at the participant suggestions, and we sat down as a team to decide on how will we go about revising this question based on all of these things. And that's pretty much what we did. So in conclusion, I think really in order to create instruments that are culturally appropriate for our specific populations, we need to start testing these. And I understand, again, that pre-testing, the way that some of us know it, can be very costly and very time-consuming. But I thought this was a simple way, it wasn't very costly, to go out and really try to validate some of these questions so that when we go out and use them, we don't come back with crappy data. So also, coordinating forums and other opportunities that involve the community within your research, like, really builds rapport with that community because they know they've been involved in what we're doing rather than just coming out saying, hey, we need you to participate in this research. They feel involved. It's like a hand-in-hand process with the community. And currently what we're doing is we're looking into grants because we want to disseminate this survey statewide across the state of South Carolina. So we want a sample size of we need at least about 600. So we are trying to, we're actually in the process of applying to an R21 right now to deploy this this survey. And I'd like to thank our partners at the Spartanburg Gibbs Cancer Center Research Institute, and they're the main cancer center in the area where we're doing the research. And this research was supported by an implementation grant through the South Carolina Cancer Alliance. And we'd also like to thank our other partners, again, Dr. Bearden, Kim Johnson, and Lucy Gansauer. And they were supported by another NIH grant to serve on this project. And those are my references and my contact information. Thank you.